B-Pod Studios.
3 o'clock hour is the Mike Missanelli Show. 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Court Police Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. All right, Sixers coming off a heartbreaking loss. They'll take some time to talk some Sixers now, take a break from the madness that was the NFL playoffs over the weekend, and the story in this Philly voice about Carson Wentz. But let's talk to the man who covers the Sixers right now for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Keith Pompey joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Keith, how you doing today, bud?
I'm doing well. What's up, Mike? How you been?
I'm doing okay. Let's talk about, first of all, let's talk about that loss and and how that possibly happened on that last play. Describe what they were trying to do on that last play, because it certainly didn't work out.
I mean, I think it was one of the, well, first of all, they didn't have a timeout, which kind of affected things. But, you know, it looked like Ben Simmons had some options. I mean, he had either he can go to the rim, or he can, you know, give the ball to Jimmy, who basically is the guy they want to, you know, take that last shot. You know, unfortunately, it just looked like once he shot the ball, he got the ball, and then both guys converged on him. And if you notice, he basically shot the ball off his back foot, and it was kind of like a desperation. I felt like they might have been a little bit better suited if Ben would have just drove the lane, you know, and possibly got fouled. It just looked like, you know, I mean, I just didn't like that play, especially when you got Joel Embiid trailing in the back. I just felt like, you know, I just didn't like it at all. I mean, I like Jimmy Butler when you give him the ball and you're running isolation and you could run the clock down, you know, but in that type of situation, getting the ball, a catch and shoot, so to speak, a dribble handoff, I think J.J. Redick is better suited shooting that shot. Or Ben Simmons just taking it and going to the rim.
Yeah, I agree with you. And here's what it brings up, Keith, and you've heard it. I mean, it brings up people saying this end-of-game coaching, that sometimes this head coach is a little overmatched. Now, do you subscribe to that? Or, like, how can things change and get better?
You know, it's weird because, like, you know, a lot of people, I mean, I can see where people say that, but a lot of times it's also the Jimmy and the Joes as opposed to the X's and the O's. And I think that, you know, until you have, you know, Ben Simmons takes more shots from the outside, you know, until you get in the right situations, you know, it's kind of hard to always blame the coach. Now again, you are right now, but see, it's also one of those things where people always want certain things. People, last time they ran a play for J.J. Redick at the end, people were like, what the heck is the coach doing? He needs to be fired. Now it's like, let's give the ball to Jimmy Butler. It just so happened you gave him the ball at the wrong situation. And again, no one told, you know, Brett Brown didn't tell Jimmy Butler to foul Paul George at the end of the play. You know what I mean? The previous possession. You know, he wasn't the reason why Paul George got open. You know what I mean? So I think sometimes we have to hold the players accountable. But at the same time, when it keeps happening like this, you do have to, you know, go after the coach and blame the coach.
Keith, they played well against Minnesota. They did play well against Oklahoma City. They should have won the game. So where is the chemistry right now? I know they've been searching for this elusive chemistry with Butler on the floor, and I'm wondering where you see it is now.
You know, I think it's getting better. I mean, I do. I mean, because if you notice in the last three games, it was a little different. You know, it was more like they're doing, especially the last two, yeah, the last three. What they're doing is they're doing more of a two-man game with Embiid and Jimmy Butler, where you have Ben Simmons, you know, he's getting his spots. You know, J.J. is getting his shots. Now, I think the major problem with this team, and Mike, you know basketball, it's like they rely so heavily on their top four players, talking about the big three and J.J. Redick. And I think that, you know, Wilson Chandler, they got to get him more involved. He only took four shots that last game, you know. And then their bench. I mean, you know, Landry Shamet, Jonah Bolden, Mike Muscala. I mean, these guys have to give you more. And then the first two games, Minnesota and Indiana, they played well. This last game, you know, they weren't as effective, nor was Wilson Chandler. So that puts too much pressure on the other three to do, or the other four to do something. And it's just, I think they need to upgrade the bench. That's the major thing right there.
Yeah, and we're all screaming for it. And I wonder if you have any. Well, first of all, let me ask you this question, because I know where it's going to lead to the second question. Do you do you believe in their current form that they could beat any of the top three teams in the East in a seven-game series?
Nope. Nope. I mean, now, the thing is, Indiana, I think that they can beat Indiana if they get, like, home field, home court advantage, just because they're a bad matchup for Indiana. But the other, like, I don't see them beating Boston. I do not see them beating Toronto or Milwaukee. I do not see it at all. And I think that, you know, like you said, they got to get some upgrades on the roster, because I just don't see it happening. Now, with Indiana, I think whoever has home court advantage will win that one. But, nah, they can't beat the other teams right now.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. So that leads to what Elton Brand may have up his sleeve. Do you have any idea what they're looking for, who might be in play for them to get right now?
You know, it's funny because, you know, I'm thinking about that. And unfortunately for the Sixers, and I heard you you had Brett Brown on of maybe a month ago, and, you know, he was talking about Trevor Ariza, who would have been the best person for that team. You know, you're talking to people, and Washington is like, yo, we got him. We're not trying to buy him out. Sorry, Sixers, y'all aren't going to get him. And then so you look at it and you're saying, wow, the buyout market and the trade market might not be as plentiful as it was last year, just because a lot of the teams who have players that the Sixers might want are still in contention for the playoffs. So you're looking at four guys who could be available, and you just don't see it happening. Like, one guy is Ernest Kanter. You know, he could be a backup five for the Sixers from the Knicks. Jabari Parker, I don't know. He doesn't play any defense. I don't know how that will work. Then you have, like, Robin Lopez, who could be a backup for Embiid as well. And he could give you, like, you know, quality minutes with Embiid being hurt. And then the one dude I think the Sixers, you know, are intrigued by, but they're going to stay away from, is, like, J.R. Smith. You know what I mean? Like, you could possibly trade for him. You know, next year, after this season, only 3.8 is, like, guaranteed on his contract. But again, like, we're talking about, are any of these guys really a good fit for the team? You know, Parker doesn't play any D.
Yeah, so, see, I think everybody is hoping that there's some, that there's better than that that is available.
They're hoping, but I don't know. I don't know. I mean, they could surprise us, but, you know, I don't know. I would really like, know what I would like, Mike? I would really like to see them play Corey Brewer more. I'm not saying he's a savior.
I agree.
But all I'm saying is, let's see what he can do.
I agree. He's got experience and can help out in a lot of ways. Last question. The Embiid back situation. Played two games in a row on it with tightness. Charles Barkley ripped the Sixers for him playing against Minnesota. What's the situation with that? And are they planning to sit him here?
You know, it's one of those things. You know, I know the Sixers don't like people saying this or talking about this, but it's ultimately up to Embiid. I mean, he always makes the decision. You know, they may fight him or they may say this and say that, but it's typically his decision to make. And I would assume that he would play today and then probably rest on Wednesday, you know, to get ready for that West Coast trip. But, you know, it's a tough situation because, you know, they're so much better when with him on the floor. And when you take him off there, they struggle. Now, this could be a good game because, you know, Clint Capella is not playing. You know, they have they're going to go play an undersized team and play small ball. So this could be a good opportunity to rest them. But no one is on national TV. I mean, I think Embiid is going to do everything in his power to play tonight.
Yeah, I agree. So who guards Harden tonight? Will Ben Simmons guard Harden?
Man, I think if Jimmy Butler is able to go, because they're saying he's questionable with a wrist injury, if he's able to go, I think you got to put Jimmy Butler on him. I mean, you know, Jimmy Butler, you know, came here supposed to be the lockdown player. Well, then you got to try to go up against Harden. I mean, you just have to. So I think you have to put Butler on him.
It'll be an interesting watch. Keith, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Mike.
All right, man. There he is. Keith Pompey covers the Sixers. So, like those names that he played, you're talking about buyouts, and he's right about teams that still think they're in a playoff run won't buy guys out. But see, this is what I question. Like, if you're going to be in a playoff, you're 8-7-6, you're not in the playoffs. You know? Really. I mean, you're just trying to fool yourself that you're in the playoffs if you're 8-7-6.
Right. We're January 21st. Now, 3 weeks from now, you could say, oh, blah, 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 we're in it. 3 weeks from now, do you really think you're in it?
Yeah.
Like, the All-Star break comes and goes. Do you really think you're in it if you're not? And do you want to get in it if you're not?
Yeah, I gotcha. All right. There has been little to no reaction with this story that was in the Philly Voice that kind of puts down Carson Wentz, saying that there are that he's selfish, he's uncompromising, he's egotistical, he plays favorites, he doesn't like to be questioned.
I just feel like...
And nobody's really responded, so people don't believe it,
no,
I think.
That's what I mean, and because what we've seen from him his entire time here speaks... Mm-hmm. To the opposite of that.
Yes.
Now, on the field, off the field, everybody sings his praises. So it's kind of outlandish.
Yeah.
It seems so far-fetched.
I don't know that the story's not. I'm not here to say the story's not true because I don't know. Okay. If a reporter is claiming he has sources that say this, then he's got sources that say this. My only thing as a journalist is you've got to have a lot of substance before you run a story like this. Now, Sal Palantonio reached out to an Eagles team official today to gauge the reaction to the story. And the official said the team felt the story was nonsense and the swift criticism of the story by senior players was proof of that. One team official said, you are seeing what his teammates are saying about Carson, great leader in the locker room and on the field. Carson is a good person, great character. Story has no legs. That's the, and you would expect that the Eagles would say something like that. So, you know, whatever your reaction is your reaction. It kind of reminds me of the story several years ago about DeSean Jackson and the gang affiliations.
Yeah,
where some reporter thought, you know, they had a source that was good enough. And this is what I'm talking about journalism today. Journalism today does not go through the checks and balances that it used to go through. It just does not. And I spent 15 years in the journalistic business. And this story would never, ever see the light of day without a checks and balances system that would be up and down.
You brought up social media. Mm-hmm. Social media helped that story, this story, for sure.
Yeah, because it's been tweeted all around.
But it also hurt the story. Pre-social media, we would not have heard from Fletcher Cox right away.
Yeah.
Lane Johnson right away. Sudfeld, who's in the quarterback room, saying, this isn't true. This guy's a stick. So it hurt it, too, because those guys were able to immediately react.
Right, but to be fair, and here's the other side of it. Those guys had no choice but to react that way. You know, they could feel another way, and publicly they want to put that face out there. You don't know anything about the dynamics of how the story was put together. So those tweets that those guys are putting out, while they're nice, that doesn't necessarily mean that they actually think that way.
But why not just be silent? They don't have to defend them. It's not like every single player's tweet. What I'm saying is silence would speak a lot for me.
Silence would also speak that they think that the story's true. So you have to almost be overtly positive towards the guy who's going to be your quarterback.
The other person that was interesting to me that responded was Torrey Smith, who's not with the team anymore and doesn't have any reason to. And he jumped in and said that it was a poop emoji.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
All right.
And he's not even with the team, and he still went out of his way to say it. That tells me something. Doesn't mean, I'm just saying it tells me something.
Yeah, I'm not here to pass judgment. My sense is that if I'm an editor of this story, I handle this story a certain way before I actually say, run that baby. Let's go, Bobby in Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bobby.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Bobby?
Long time listener.
How you doing, Bobby?
So I got three. Good, thanks. Three quick points. I just want to make the two quick points and maybe we can have a discussion on my last one.
Mm-hmm.
And follow up to the guy you just had on. I think at the end of a game, as good as Ben Simmons is, the one thing he is exceptional at is getting to the rack. And in 5 seconds, he can get full length of the court. But because he has no confidence in his foul shot, or his offensive ability, he didn't want to take that shot. And until then, he can't be on the court in those situations. So that's my first
point. Well, he's got to be on the court because he's the one that got the ball down the floor. I hear what you're saying, but
he has to be willing to fail before.
Yeah, but the play wasn't for him to hold on to the ball. The play was for him to give it up. So they weren't going to risk him going to the foul line. But they could have him off the floor.
Exactly.
But you got to have him on the floor.
Whatever he wants.
Yeah. All right.
Second point, I think Sean Payton lost that game by not using the clock, and he outsmarted himself at the end of the game. But the last point I wanted to have a conversation about, I've had this theory about officiating and replay for years, and I don't know why they don't do this, but human element and part of the game is what makes it great. And my position is make instant replay real time. And if you can't decipher the call in real time because that's the way they see it, and you've got about 30 seconds to do so, it stands. Instead of slow-mowing it every single
Well, but you got to get the play right. I mean, look at the Edelman play. If they didn't pour over that, they may have gotten the wrong result. And clearly, when they poured over it and looked at different angles, they saw he didn't touch it.
Yeah, but the refs, they're there. They're human beings. They call the game in real time.
Yeah, but you know, well, I don't understand how that would help. Like, I just gave you an example of why it would help. In real time, that Edelman play would have cost the Patriots, and it shouldn't have. The fact that it took 2 minutes or so to determine that play, I don't have a problem with getting it right, no matter how it's called. That play, you can't start reviewing plays that, okay, I saw pass interference, so let's review that play. Because you then can review every play. It's like, oh, I didn't see a hole there, let's review it. And you're just, the game would come to a grinding halt. So, okay, they missed the play. It's going to happen. You miss calls in every sport. You miss calls in the NBA all the time. You miss them in baseball. You miss them in hockey. You miss calls all the time. And my point is, if you are conditioned to know that they're going to miss calls, just know that they're going to even out and stop letting it ruin your enjoyment, because the game itself is the enjoyment. Of the 100 calls they will make during the course of a game, they get one or two wrong. That's glorified by cameras that are zeroed in on that area of the field. It's easy for us to sit back and say, oh, the officials stink, are ruining the game. Just chalk it off. Let's go to Andrew in Newtown. Andrew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew.
Mike, man, the people miss. How you doing?
What's on? What's going on, man?
Well, let me touch on the first two subjects first. Hopefully enough time for the officials. But as far as the story, was the Philadelphia Voice. Anything is not confirmed, any source. It's hearsay, and I'll treat it as such in my mind, you know, read it for entertainment only. As far as Tom Brady, maybe it's jealousy or, you know, Tiger Woods. I still don't like Tom Brady or Tiger Woods, but I do have to appreciate their greatness. Absolutely no question in my mind when he had the ball with less than 2 minutes or whatever the time was, he was going to score, in overtime. That he is going to score. I mean, he's that great. There's no question.
Well, and that's the thing, Andrew. He's still great. Tiger's no longer great. I mean, listen, even the staunchest Tiger Woods fan has to admit he's no longer great. He may be able to win a tournament, you know, but he's no longer great. Tom Brady's still great. Those last two drives were surgical.
And, well, not only that, Mike, the NFL is geared towards parity. And despise Belichick and Brady all you like, but for them to sustain that amount of greatness, or you know, being above the rim, or you know, that much better than the rest of the league, it really says something. Now that being said, as far as winning the coin toss and the offense getting the ball, you know, the rules in the NFL are geared towards the offense, ratings, you know, consideration. Yeah, there was no question in my mind that the game was over when they won the coin toss. The Patriots are going to the Super Bowl. And I don't like the fact the game was decided by a coin toss. That's a different subject for another day.
Well, I've talked about that. Tyrone, the mic idea was fostered many weeks ago to avoid that, right? What was it?
Yours was the total yards.
Total yards.
Yep. So in that case, I don't know who had more yards going in. But either way, that's a better way than a coin flip is dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I agree with you. That is something you can change. And while I know that when your team's built on offense, right, like the Chiefs are, for example, if injuries happen during the game or whatever, it does seem unfair that Mahomes wasn't allowed to touch it.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. Their defense could have stopped them, but that defense wasn't going to stop them in the second half. It would have been nice if there was a system where Mahomes would have got a chance to touch it, because he also had it rolling in the second half. Because
So they came pretty damn close to stopping him. What? How many third and tens? Three.
That's true.
Three third and tens.
No. That was in in overtime. They didn't have three third and ten.
That was the last drive.
Yeah. Then Mahomes gets it back and gets down the field in 30-some seconds for the tying field goal. They were much more methodical in overtime. But either way, it would have been nice if there was a way for Mahomes to touch it. But the defense still could have stopped them.
Yeah, they had three third and tens on the overtime drive.
Really?
Yeah,
so they had a chance. So it's not the coin flip. The coin flip didn't decide it. Your defense can still stop them. And if had you held him to a field goal, he would have touched it. But I felt, as a fan, unfulfilled because I wanted Mahomes to get a chance to touch the ball.
All right, that's fair. Third and 10, New England 35. Bang. Yeah. Edelman for 20. Laser. Next series. Third and 10 to Kansas City 45. Bang, Edelman for 15 yards, first down.
Across the middle.
Next drive, third and 10. Bang, Gronkowski beats out Eric Berry on the sidelines. Three third and 10s. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
Fanatic Sports Update.
Super Bowl decided. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Temple Basketball. The Temple Owls take on Memphis on Thursday, January 24th at 7 p.m. at the Lea Coors Center. Presented by NovaCare. For tickets, visit OwlsTix.com. New England Patriots will head back to the Super Bowl for the fourth time in 5 years after beating the Chiefs last night. 37-31, they'll face the Rams, who beat the Saints 26-23. Sixers fell to the Thunder on Saturday, 117-115. They'll face the Rockets tonight at 8. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic. Our Sixers in 60 show will lead you into the game at 7. Keith Pompey checks in with Mike at 3. Flyers won their third in a row on Saturday, beating the Canadians 5-2. The team is now on their bye. They'll take the ice again next Monday against the Jets at home. Visit Swiss Farms drive-thru markets for fresh dinner entrees like their cranberry chicken salad. Plus, stock up on groceries right from your car. Go to SwissFarms.com for locations in Delaware County and Norristown. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you've missed. Go to 97.5thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike Mizzanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Let's get an update on Twitter poll, which is brought to us by Colby Moyer and Sons. Hello, Miss Natalie. How was your weekend?
Hello, Mike. Weekend was lovely.
Yeah.
Busy.
Good.
But very good. Over 3,900 votes on this. Do you believe the report on Carson Wentz that states he is selfish and a bully? 12% say yes. 88% say no. Again, almost 4,000 votes on this. That's huge.
Mm. Bullying society has not lobbied yet. I just got an email from a guy. Today's article does nothing but give confirmation to the conversation we had last month. When we last spoke, I told you Wentz looked like Foles this season pre-snap. Carson wasn't doing any of the things that made him an MVP in 2017, especially changing plays and adjusting at the line. He was just getting up there and running Doug's offense. That same offense that put up 16 and 14 points in the playoffs. Ask yourself, what Carson Wentz do you want? Do you want the mobile version of Peyton or a clone of Nick Foles running RPOs? All right, so he's not saying anything about the relationship, but he's saying that they wanted to take his game away from him, and that's why he looked the way he did this year.
Yeah, because in the article, there's something where Carson said, I don't want to run the Foles stuff.
Uh-huh.
And to me, if I'm Carson Wentz, and I know what I can do physically, and I know what Nick Foles can do physically, I don't necessarily want to run the Foles plays because I want to push the ball downfield, because to win, you got to push the ball downfield. I don't even know why that's a negative. Carson Wentz shouldn't want to run the Foles stuff. He should want to run the Wentz stuff. Well, why would he want to run, you know, he goes downfield less? Why would he want to do that? I'm confused.
See, this story is cleverly unsueable. Like, it doesn't rise to the level of libel.
Yeah.
all it is damaging to a certain amount of people. Right? It doesn't really say anything libelous. Because you can defend it by saying, oh, they're my sources, and I don't care to reveal my sources.
Yeah, like
it was their opinion.
Who was the source that said, what player is in the room when Carson is bullying Groh?
Well, like quarterback room.
But the quarterback room has spoken. That's what's odd. The quarterback room says that Carson's a great guy.
That's what they say.
So
they say in public.
So Carson's a tyrant to Groh of all. He just, or like they say Brady.
I'm doing a Tyrone here. I got a Tyrone look.
I don't know.
Let's go to Dave in Center City. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Yo, what's cooking, guys?
What's going on, Dave?
Before I get down to business, Natalie, I heard your commercial on Friday where you released the Chiefs and the Saints. I immediately left you a sound off pleading with you. Change that to Rams money line, Patriots money line.
Well, you were right, Dave. But nobody has called to congratulate me for my Patriots money line selection. You know,
congratulations.
Can you congratulate me? It's all about Natalie to you? My mirage?
My apologies, sir. It wasn't that long ago we had strike replacement refs, and they turned the game into a travesty for about 6 weeks. When the regular refs came back, they were hugged. I miss you so much, guys. You're appreciated. The players were ecstatic. It's a tough job, and I guess the system we have now is, I guess these guys are the least worst. There's no other option.
No. Well, give me an idea. Give me your idea.
I can't think of any. It's just, I guess you're going to have to live with them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, getting to the overtime, the game should not be decided on the serendipity of a coin toss. What they should do is just treat overtime as a fifth quarter. Play it out. 15 minutes.
Yeah, and I mean, you're talking about football players, though, Dave. You know, I guess you can play because they do sometimes play it out 15 minutes, but they're trying to, you know, not have the game lengthy as it can go on forever, so guys don't get hurt. I mean, I can see the merit in that. Yeah, you know, first one wins is in.
Mike, it was painful for me to watch that NFC title game. By the way, hats off to Jared Goff. Well, what a job stepping up he did.
Yeah.
But, and Lord knows, I would love to see Foles, Tom Brady part two, but Carson comes back next year, and if he's healthy and he stays healthy, Mike, the whole NFC is going through a retooling right now. Mm-hmm. We should be in good shape for the next 10 years.
Well, about 10. That's a long time to be in good shape. Only Patriots do that. I'm worried about next year. That's all I'm worried about. They've got a lot of transitional things they have to do. And then nobody's called up. Hey, Mike, nice outright on New England. The tweets. It's a thankless job, Tyrone.
It is.
Giving winners.
And did Westbrook text you?
We were texting back and forth about Brady.
No. Because he usually texts you when he's 3-0.
He's a 2-0.
What do you mean he's 2-0?
No, he wasn't 2-0?
No.
That was last week's tweet.
Yeah, no.
He was 0-2.
Yeah, he picked both home teams.
He did. Yeah, you know, he's a 1-1 then.
Yeah, wait.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because the Patriots. No.
Who did he pick?
He picked the Saints.
Saints.
Who didn't.
All right, it was a loss. I had a loss on that, too.
And you were 1-1. He was 0-2.
I was 1-1.
And he picked the Chiefs.
All right.
So he was 0-2.
Yo, what am I, a mirage?
Yeah.
Where's my drink? Oh, you asked me for a drink? Yeah, I just asked you for a drink.
I thought you said, I'm good, Spider.
No, you ain't good, Spider. You got a lot of freaking problems. James in Frankfurt. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. James.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, James?
Yeah, a couple things, man. First thing, good choice in that Patriots pick.
Hey, thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
All right, people seem to forget that football is offense and defense.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm correct, Drew Brees had the chance to win it in overtime at home to go to the Super Bowl.
Did, through interception.
Right. So this thing about offensive defense. Mm-hmm. And another thing is the Tom Brady thing. Yo.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah. What about the Tom Brady thing?
Nah, you just switched callers, Mike.
What?
This is Sly.
Oh, what happened,
Sly? From West Philly. I don't know.
That bled out and went to Sly?
Yeah.
Hold on a second, Sly. What happened there?
That was weird.
You guys mid-thought it blended in the Sly.
I don't know. That's never happened before.
How that happened?
That's never happened, at least to my knowledge.
All right, Melinda in Delaware. Melinda, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Melinda.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good, Melinda. How you doing?
I'm a long-time listener but a first-time caller.
Thank you. I love you
to death, and I love your opinions. But listen, I just want to be real quick and say a couple of things. First of all, it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. I was so happy that Sean Payton lost, and I didn't know what to do. I've been feeling a certain way with him ever since. I don't know why you don't remember. He ran up that score with us when it was 4th and 7. He didn't have to go for it. He did to try to run the points up.
Yeah.
And I agree with you 100%. He sat over there crying in the rest.
That's all he did. His team had the ball on offense. He kept crying about the call.
Exactly. He should have been getting his defense together so they can stop him from running down the field.
Hey, every chance he got, he turned away.
Question. How do you think that Carson's going to feel if Goff does win and he's going to feel real bad because he's like, dang, he went to the Super Bowl and won. I didn't even get a chance to go to the Super Bowl and play. I think he's going to be fired up next year.
I hope he is because the hits keep coming. Foles hit him 2 years in a row. And now Goff has hit him.
And now Goff has hit him.
Yep.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right, Melinda. Thanks for listening. All right, let's get Joe and Belmar in here. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Joe?
Let me start off by saying I had shoulder surgery on the 27th of December,
mm-hmm.
and you guys have made recovery a lot easier.
Oh, nice.
Very entertaining. And I thank you for your
I appreciate you saying that because I know what that's like. You got that harness. You can't sleep on it.
I know it. Yeah, they had to put 3 anchors in my shoulder.
I had the same thing, actually.
Well, let me make my point.
Yes.
I played ice hockey for 12 years, uh-huh. men's league all over the city. And I used to terrorize referees. They actually regret it when they saw me come on the ice.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's my point. I got to ask the ref a 12-year-old game. And my entire opinion on referees changed that day. Because what one man sees from one direction, another man doesn't see the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you. When someone makes a bad call as a ref, champions overcome them. So I don't say that the Saints lost the game because of that call. They lost that game because they couldn't step up and be a champion.
You're exactly right. Listen, I understand that some things could have happened that cemented the game for them if they got that call, but they still got the lead. They still had their defense a chance to stop the other team, and then they had the ball and it got through an interception.
Absolutely.
So, it happens.
And then you can dissect that entire game. And there was, in both the AFC and NFC championship, mm-hmm. there was big calls that were missed.
Yeah.
And big calls that were made that shouldn't have been called. Champions rise above that.
I hear you, bro.
Thank you, Mike.
All right,
keep
man.
Up the good work. I love you guys.
Thanks,
you guys
buddy.
Are great. You're making recovery a little easier.
Thanks, pal. Good luck with that. So, Tyron, your solution is to make them younger. Just make the officials younger. Like they have in the NBA, by the way. They have all the young officials in the NBA.
Younger.
Do they miss calls?
Yeah, but that's one, not acceptable. And two, I think by and large, they do a better job than the NFL. Because that's a constant motion game. The NFL, you get to stop constantly.
Yeah, by the way, the Minnesota game? Was the female official?
Yeah.
For the Sixers?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that if they had more female officials in the NBA, there'd be less bitching and moaning?
Yep.
You think? Yeah.
I do. Absolutely. In fact, yes. If they had one...
Just general decorum?
There would be. And most people... Now, obviously, in the heat of the battle, but for the most part, people would watch their language better as well. Now, obviously, things would happen. You get a hard foul, you react. But I'm talking mm-hmm. about the after the call, you went and take a walk, and you come back, and you get one more in. That doesn't happen. The one more in doesn't happen if it's a female. Not as often.
Yeah. I don't forget her name, but she's a pretty amazing story. I was looking at her story. She was a college softball player. Her father was some longtime high school official. And she started doing some games and got noticed, and all of a sudden she winds up in the G League. And from the G League, she's in the NBA. She's like in her late 20s.
It's amazing.
And it kind of shows.
The what?
Her, because I think people she's starting to build a following. People think she's attractive.
Yeah, she's kind of cute.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Like, ref hot. It's like there's people who have been saying that. There was a hashtag going.
She's ref hot?
Yeah, like they were saying, like, relative to a ref. Like, she's got, like, people are, and she, like, kind of does her hair a little bit more. She's in a ponytail, but you can tell she did some work on it. Yeah, she,
And
yeah.
she's great at her job. It's amazing.
She is. No, I was saying that.
No, I know.
Because she's younger.
I'm saying she's the total package. Yeah.
Natalie's countering the ref.
No, I think she is a good ref.
No.
But I'm saying people were on social media talking about how she's ref hot.
I missed that.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Instead of red hot, they were ref hot.
The ref hot thing.
Yeah.
That's funny.
See, Nat doesn't like that.
No, I don't mind it, but I think it's more important that she's not in that position because of her
I
looks.
Agree with you, Nat.
She's You're there 100%. Because of her talent.
100%. I agree with
Thank you, Mike.
610-632-0975 is how you get in. All right, Sly will be up next. I haven't heard from Sly in a really long time. He's next after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
49, Mike Missinelli show regarding this story in Philly Voice, which indicates that Wentz is not as popular in the locker room as we would have believed. But some tweets have come out in support of him. Zach Ertz, whoever wrote that article needs to check their quote-unquote sources. Hashtag fake news. Carson has been and is our leader and our QB. Y'all know where to find me if you have any issues. Zach Ertz. Don't believe everything you read. Carson has been nothing but a great person, great teammate, great leader since day one. Well, it's his homie. Ertz. All right. Fletcher Cox, reading through this Carson Wentz thing and as the leader on this team. None of that is true. Carson's a great teammate, great player. We're all behind him 100%. He's our guy. We'll come back to prove the world wrong. If you got a problem, feel free to respond to me and I'll respond. No tweets yet, Tyrone. I think it's fair to say. Alshon, no tweet.
No.
Aguilar, no tweet.
Oh, I don't know.
Sproulsy?
Well, Sproul better not tweet. How many games did he actually play with Carson?
Well,
I'm saying he can't.
You would think Jeffrey would throw something in there. Huh?
I don't know if he's tweeted at all, though. No. I don't know if he's tweeting about something else.
Jeffrey a tweeter?
He doesn't tweet often.
No?
No, he tweets, but he doesn't. He has a Twitter, but he doesn't tweet often. I don't think he's tweeted since he went to the school with the kids.
Okay.
To my knowledge. I don't think not tweeting automatically means, yeah, I hate the guy. Maybe it does.
Sometimes I'll put you on the spot to tweet now. Like what? A story like that puts you on the spot to tweet.
Here's the thing, though. Math would hurt it for Alshon. It came out that Carson actually threw the ball to Alshon more times per game mm-hmm. than Foles. And for the Zach Ertz people, real fast, 9.63 times was the amount Wentz threw to him, 9.28 from Foles. So the math says Alshon should not be upset, but maybe he still is.
All right, let's go to West Philly. Sly joins us. What's up, Sly? How you feeling?
Mikey, what's going on?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, Mike, I got a pet peeve about like referees and points in a game where it doesn't really decide the game. Like, Sean Payton complained about it's ridiculous because they take the lead, they have a chance to stop more defense mm-hmm. and to win on offense. And people only point to that because they lose the game. It always bothers me when that happens. It's just like when Draymond Green got suspended in the fifth game of the NBA Finals, they still had two more games mm-hmm. to play.
I see it the same way, Sly.
Like Bartman, they act like that was the end of the Cubs. They still had games to play.
You're right. They still had a chance to get that batter out. That's what I always look at. Unless, and I was saying a little earlier, if that was the last play of the game, and the guy grabbed his jersey and prevented him from getting free to catch a ball, then that decides the game.
Right. That's different. But when you see all that stuff, Bill Buckner, the same thing. It's like that wasn't the end of the series.
I agree with you. The players, 99.9% of the time, will always have the chance to win the game.
Absolutely. And I got another thing to say about Tom Brady and the Patriots. It's like when you look at that team, it makes the Eagles' victory so much more impressive because it's hard to beat Tom Brady. And he had the ball late in the game against us, and we was able to stop him twice.
Yeah.
That's impressive because you never see that. When he got the ball, you knew he was going to win. I said, this game is over. You cannot stop that guy.
It is amazing. I forget the play. It might have been the drive before overtime, but it might have been the first pass, the 20-yarder that started the overtime drive, where he just got bang and threw a laser. Like his best pass of the game was that pass. Was it an overtime or was it the drive before overtime? I think it was the first down play where you just step back, wham.
I thought it was the...
I'll have to check it.
Drive before overtime.
It might have been the drive before overtime, but the first play was like the dart in the middle of the field. I'm checking it now. Let's go. We have one open line, by the way. Just open with Sly's call. 610-622-0975. We'll actually have to... We'll get to a break. But, all right, let me look at it. First play over time. I can't get this up. What's going on here? All right, well, I'll look for it. We'll take a break. It's the Mike Misnelli Show right here at 97.5. The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
Set. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum, over two decades helping our community. The New England Patriots fall back to the Super Bowl for the fourth time in 5 years after beating the Chiefs last night 37-31 in OT. They'll face the Rams, who beat the Saints 26-23. Sixers fell to the Thunder on Saturday 117-115. They'll face the Rockets tonight at 8. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic. Our Sixers in 60 show will lead you into the game at 7. Flyers won their third in a row on Saturday, beating the Canadiens 5-2. Team is now on their bye. They'll take the ice again next Monday against the Jets at home. This week, Giant saves you more with a BOGO deal on fresh, ripe strawberries. So kid-friendly, buy one, get one free on strawberries. They're thinking that's one sweet deal, only at Giant. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you've missed. Go to 97.5thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Misinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.